Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. I'm Sharky Zartman, and I'm so excited to have one of my favorite guests back on the show, Vince Papale. Now, Vince is an author and one of the top motivational speakers in the country with his story of an underdog who blew everyone away with his success. He is the subject of the Disney movie Invincible, the story of his journey from being a 30-year-old teacher who'd never played a down of college football to being a key part of the Philadelphia Eagles squad. Mark Wahlberg played his character. Years later, he won another crucial victory and survived cancer. Today, he will share his story and show us how we can use his system to become invincible in our own lives. So, welcome back, Vince.
Yeah, hey, Sharky, that was a great intro. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Well, it's all true. I didn't make it up.
Sometimes it gets messed around a little bit, especially from the teaching side, because the movie has me portrayed as a part-time bartender and a substitute teacher, and in reality, I actually was teaching at my alma mater, high school alma mater, head track coach, assistant football coach, working on master's degree for 6 years, but that was a good one, so I appreciate it. How's everything out there in Redondo Beach? I'm talking to you
right here
in beautiful Jupiter, Florida,
the
capital of the world.
Everything's good here, you know. I mean, we're just getting ready for losing the sunshine in the evening. We're going to Standard Time. Do you guys go to Standard Time?
Yeah, we'll go to Standard Time here this weekend, yep.
Yeah. I don't like it. We get more sleep, but less sunshine in the evening. So, anyway, I still remember meeting you and Dennis Franks in New York when you guys pitched your book, The Last Laugh. And I had to have you on the show, especially since I had seen the movie Invincible before you pitched me. And I love the story of the underdog accomplishing something almost absolutely impossible, which you did. And so I know the movie was a little different from your experience, but tell us about a little bit more about your story as how you went from being a teacher, supposedly, who had never played college football, to be an integral part.
No, that was right. supposedly, you can drop the supposedly. I really never did play college football, but that'd be great. Yeah, just stop me if you want. Yeah, in the middle. First of all, since we met, I've lost my dear friend Dennis Franks. We lost him 3 years ago this past October. And, his heart just gave out. And I'll tell you what, I miss that guy every day. Every day I miss him. And I lost another teammate of mine, and that was Roman Gabriel. And he was with the L.A. Rams before he came.
Yeah,
to
I remember
England.
Him.
And
yeah.
if it wasn't for Gabe Roman, and I just spoke to his son the other day, I know there's going to be a big memorial. There's a big thing that's going to be done and by the Rams, which is really cool. But Gabe is the guy that sort of took me under his wing when I came in after the pre-agent tryout. And he was the all-pro quarterback, and he had to fire high gang. There is Roman, about 6'6", and all of his receivers were 6'4 and above. And one of them, Charlie Young from USC, you know, out your way. Mm-hmm. So it just happened, you know. It was one of these things. It was sort of an organic thing, I guess, if that's a way to describe it. A tryout came. I never really thought that anything was going to come of it. I was playing prior to that. I was playing semi-pro football and doing pretty good. Actually, I was leading the league in receptions and touchdowns. And the Eagles had a free agent or a tryout prior to that. And the coach that was the coach at that time, it wasn't Vic Vermeil, who came from, of course, UCLA. They wouldn't even, you know, they just laughed, you know. my main sport, I was a first year senior in high school football. And is there a lot of background? And can you hear background in your in here? Is everything okay? You hearing the sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So at any rate, when I was in high school, I was told that I was too small when I was 14 years old in ninth, 10th grade.
Right.
I was just over 100 pounds and not even 5 feet tall. And, you know, my nickname was Squint because of my size. And then all of a sudden I grew and I got a tryout for the football team my senior year. And it was for a guy, and it was from a guy and a coach named George Corner, who was my first male teacher in seventh grade as my fifth ed teacher. And this guy, he, if I could best describe him, he looked like Howie Long. You know, he had that Howie Long. I mean, you know, he had that crew cut.
And okay.
And my mother absolutely loved him. She would only go to she would only go to back to school night simply to see my teacher, you know, and that was the only class I ever got an A in. You know?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I always spent that, but everything else sort of sucked.
Oh my God!
Anyway, you know, and so he really, you know, he got to know my mom pretty good, and right when I'm around ninth grade, he's still there, and he let me come out for the junior high school football team, and we didn't have middle schools back then. And my mother had a turn for the worse with her mental illness and her mental health, and a tremendous athlete that she was, and she wound up being institutionalized.
Oh no!
And I was coming apart at the seams, and it was this guy, this coach, this teacher that just sort of guided me through it, not knowing that his mother, when he was 6 years old, was institutionalized, probably in the same facility where my mother was.
Oh, wow.
And this guy always sort of stayed as a mentor for me. So now to fast forward to my senior year and, you know, all this stuff going on behind me, he never left. You know, he left me, and then he finally got the coaching job for the football team my senior year. And I was told that I couldn't come out for the team because I was too small, I'd get killed, you know. About 5'3", 5'4", you know, 135, 140 pounds, as I'm 16, 17 years old, still not 5'8", you know. And then finally, I started to grow a little bit, and he comes in, and he's the new football coach my senior year, and he tracked me down, and he says, "You're coming out for football." I said, "Coach, I thought it was the rule that you don't have first-year seniors." He said, "I'm breaking a rule for you." He said, "You're coming out."
Wow!
And when you know it, that I'm 5'8". I'm 165, 170. Could run like the wind. And what he did is he actually changed the whole offense and made sure that it went from mostly back then they had what was called a veer. Now it's whatever kind of read they have. But anyway, he changed the offense and sort of had the passing offense going around me, and I wound up leading the county in receptions and touchdowns. But nobody knew me because I was a first-year senior, and so that was okay. So I got through, you know, I was honorable mention, and as I got through it, and then I played basketball, and then I was going to take the spring off because I wasn't running track at that time. I was in junior high school, and he became the new track coach, and he says, "I want you to come out." And he said, "You can do any of you the fastest kid in the school. You can do any event you want." And so I said, "Can I pole vault?" And he says, "No, I talked to your dad first of all about talking to you." And because my dad said he would try to convince me to run track. And he said, "Don't let him do, if he says he wants to pole vault, don't let him pole vault."
Okay.
So this is the instruction. Well, wouldn't you know it, on Father's Day in 1964, I competed against five guys that got scholarships over me, and I beat them, and I wound up getting a scholarship handed to me by St. Joe's College at that time. That was my Father's Day gift to my father as a pole vaulter. But I go to St. Joe's, there's no football. You know, they don't have a football team.
No football.
So after St. Joe's, I went back, and I went back to my high school and taught. I got, was working on my master's, and the decathlon sort of got my attention. So I was trying to qualify for the Olympic trials, and that didn't quite get there. And a lot of it was politics, so I got pissed off, and I started playing semi-pro football. And when you know it, you know, a new league's being formed. It's called the World Football League. A lot of NFL guys, there was a lot of money being thrown around, and a lot of NFL guys were defecting from the NFL going to this new World League. And I wound up getting a free agent tryout there with about 600 or 700 guys, and I was the one guy, along with a guy from Notre Dame left standing, and I actually wound up starting as a starter in this league. And you know, Sharky, when I was there, I was going against so many D1 college players and former NFL players. I said, "Damn, you know, I can play this game, you know, given the chance." But I never thought I'd get it, and I was a season ticket holder with the Eagles. And when you know, Coach Ramil comes in and he has that free agent tryout, but they get bolded. So now I'm substitute teaching and bartending. That's where they pick the movie up.
Right.
And I get a shot, and as they say, the rest is history. And the movie Invincible is about that 6 week, 7 week, 8 week period between when I went to training camp for the first time and was accepted by the team. And that's how that all started. It was pretty crazy. And after the tryout, I signed a contract for $21,000. So I asked the general manager, Jimmy Murray, do I have to give up my season ticket? He said, you might want to hold on to that for just a little bit. It's no guarantee.
Yeah.
But that's where Roman Gable came into my life.
Wow.
And because I was now allowed to go to Veterans Stadium and train. And Veterans Stadium was a dual stadium, like a lot of them were back then in the 70s. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, St. Louis all had the same architecture and the same kind of place. So I started training with not only Roman Gable, but Steve Carlton, Mike Schmidt, and a kung fu guy by the name of Gus Huffling, who was the strength conditioning coach for both the Eagles and the Phillies. And I went to a regimen, and then, you know, I'm working out with these guys, and Roman Gable says, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And when we got to training camp, the ball kept flying my way, and it was coming from Gabe.
Wow.
And, you know, and then same thing for training camp. So, you know, it was wild. You know?
Yeah.
But I wind up captain of the team next year, which was really crazy.
Yeah. Well, you helped them, you and, you know, your friend, Dennis, you know, helped that team start to turn successful because they weren't having success before you guys came in. Is that correct?
Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of draft picks, Sharky. Bill Berge was our linebacker, and they gave up before Coach Ramil came in. They gave up 4 first-round draft picks for Bubba, Bill,
wow.
And number 66. And so they didn't have a lot of draft picks, and so the first year was sort of a cleanup year.
Okay.
And Coach killed us in training camp, literally. He had a great saying, nobody ever tried to sweat, you know. And we sweated a lot, full pads, full, you know, the thud tempo, as they called it. And there's a great video in the movie where he talks about, you know, this is how we're going to work you. And, you know, it was a matter of survival. So our first year, it was 6 preseason games. And 14 games, and we were 4-10, and then the next year we're 5-9, and then we're 9-5, and when that was, you know, now they're going to 16 game season, and we were 10-6, and you know, that was the Super Bowl year, and each year he got a little bit better, but
right.
You know, Coach Ramil was organized, he was tough, he knew what he wanted, and if you became one of his guys, you were his forever.
That's awesome. Were you a little intimidated when you were first on the team? I mean, did you feel...
Well, you know, that's a great question. The first week when we came in was right around 4th of July in, 76. And Coach was sort of like freaked out. You know, he's a West Coast guy. They never, you know, they had sprinklers. They don't have sprinklers here, you know, in Philly. And anyway, There's planes that are flying all over the place. He forgot it was 4th of July weekend, and it was the bicentennial. What's all this noise? What's all these planes? So the first week, we're rookies and free agents, and he had about 110 guys in there. But guess what? Roman Gabriel was the quarterback.
Huh?
Was one of the three quarterbacks that were there for that. And so I was going to against a bunch of kids, and you know, I say kids 22, 23 years old, you know, a lot of free agents, and
right.
We didn't have a lot of D1 kind of guys coming in. But anyway, I wasn't intimidated then, but I'll tell you what, the next week when the veterans came in, that's when I said, oh, my God, and I'm looking across, and I see Herm Edwards, I see Billy Bradley, I see this guy, I see that guy, I see the guys, these are my heroes. I'm in the stands.
Yeah,
cheering for them. And I was very aggressive, and was the reason in the movie that wasn't all that popular is in the beginning, because I just hit everything that moved, you know, I just wiped it out.
Uh-huh.
And that was my mentality. I mean, that's what pole vaulters do. You know, you fall from 15 or 16 feet, so you know, wiping a guy out is nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't gain a lot of friends doing that. But here's what had happened: when they came in, the veterans came in, I backed off, and Coach came to me and he just got in my face. He said, "You're not the same Vince Papale that I brought in here. What's going on?" I said, "Coach, I said, you know, I'm a little intimidated here, you know, by these guys. I don't want to hurt anybody." And he said, "Intimidated by these guys?" I said, "You should be intimidated." And I said, "No, I said, sort of mentally, I don't want to hurt anybody." He said, "They can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I want to see the Vince Papale."
Good advice, Coach.
I saw last week. And there was. And I got over it over about two or three days. You know, I started making hits in special teams, and before you know it, you know, the big play at the end of the game actually did work out.
Wow.
And that's when I was accepted by the team.
Wow. That is so cool. Such a cool story. What was it like when you saw Mark Wahlberg play you in the movie Invincible? I mean, that must have been quite a, you know, whoa.
I really didn't know much about Mark. I know, you know, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch and all that stuff, and you know, and our producers were, you know, Mark Ciardi and Gordon Gray. They're the same two guys that did Rookie and Miracle, you know. So they had a little bit of a pedigree putting sports movies together.
Right.
And they say the first time you see Mark, make sure you call Marky Mark. He loves it. Well, guess what? I did some research on him, and I found out he hated being called Marky Mark.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Good for you.
So, you know, I sort of passed that test. But when I saw Mark, and, you know, he was just he was so humble. And it's the only movie that it was still alive at the end of the movie, you know. I mean, you know, when he was sort of like the star, he was in the Perfect Storm and the Monkey movies, whatever. The Apes, Planet of the Apes, you know, and he was in one of the episodes of Planet of the Apes. And, you know, so here he is, now he's an NFL player. And there's really a great interview on YouTube. It's just, you know, just go YouTube, Vince Papale, Mark Wahlberg. And I did an interview, and he talked about what he felt like he was an underdog and what he was going to do in order to get himself ready. So what we did, Sharky, is and the movie started filming right after the weekend of 4th of July, back in 2005 is when we were filming it.
Okay.
And so 2 weeks prior to that, they brought in all the football talent and sort of choreographed everything that's going to be going on in the movie. And I got to have Mark by myself for about an hour and a half or 2 hours and just go with him. I would go through the drills that I would go through and running the routes and, you know, doing one-on-ones with the quarterbacks and doing all kinds of drills. And he just sucked it right up. And Sharky, he just said, I want to be part of this team. I'm not going to be a prima donna. And there's this one great scene where he's running up the sideline. It's in super slow motion, and he gets clocked. Well, that was supposed to be a scene with a body double. There were five body doubles, believe it or not, that were shooting the movie. And one of the body doubles sort of ran like me. And then they had another with a helmet with the hair coming out the back, because I had long hair back then. And anyway, the guy that hit him didn't realize that it was Mark. He thought with the body double, and he just blew him up.
Oh, no.
Mark stayed in character, and he played it through, and he did it. You know, he told the producer and the director. He says, I don't want the tight camera on me running down, and then I'll get knocked down, and then they'll come back, you know, with another camera angle and have me getting back up. Well, he says, keep the camera on me the whole time. And that was the kind of guy he was. And he was fabulous. We were out every night. You know, I was either out with somebody from Disney, from the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, Mark or the producers. It was, what an experience. And it took us 6 weeks to film it. We spent a week in Dallas, which was really a cool experience. And that was it. So yeah. And Mark and I are still, we're still friends. And, you know,
nice.
I know he's living. He's right outside. He's turning things upside down in Las Vegas, and coming out, maybe building a new movie studio out there, and try to have Vegas be the Hollywood of the Vegas. You know, and so he's doing that, and you know, he's doing his thing. And my kids have gone from 6 years old when they were and filming the movie and in the movie. Vinny was six. Gabby was nine. And now here he's 27. And she's 30, but we're in touch with each other constantly, and you know, just love him to death. He was really a tough kid.
That's awesome. Well, we're gonna have to take a short break. Well, by the way, according to The Last Laugh, Mark Wahlberg was honored to play you in the movie, and so I'm sure you already knew that. But that's probably the first time he ever played football in his life, right?
Well, yeah, that's, you're right, but he was a pretty good basketball player, you know.
Oh, okay.
He had this movie, The Basketball Diaries, and on the director, I know real quick you got to do a break, but the director gave me a whole bunch of movies that had Mark in it, and I just immediately saw his athletic talent.
Yeah.
He said, this is going to be great. And then to have that honor and privilege of being to train him and be the guy and show him the stuff that I had to deal with was even better.
That is really cool. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I understand the end of your football career, you had an injury, and you talk about that in the book. And so you ready to go there when we come back?
One play too many, Sharky.
Okay. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Vince Papale right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net's homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Vince Papale, and we're talking about becoming invincible and his story. And so welcome back, Vince.
Thanks, Sharky. Yeah, great to be back. That was a fun first segment. Looking forward to what's coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was looking at your book, The Last Laugh, you talked about the end of your football career when you had a shoulder injury and some of the challenges that you went through. And you even had a bout with cancer. And so, and I know that your wife, Janet, who's a world-class gymnast, she kind of helped you a lot get through that. In fact, there's a quote that you have in your book, and I have it right here. it said, one day Janet, in her typical unfiltered way, said, "Vince, get your head out of your butt. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, and let's kick this colon cancer thing once and for all." Did she really say that?
That's Janet. That's Janet. She's Coach Ramil was the same. That's why I think Coach Ramil loves Janet. You know, Janet's 5'1", 5 feet tall. You know, she and Kathy Rigby were teammates on that team back in Munich, and Janet's competed all over the world as world-class gymnast and this and that. She doesn't take crap from nobody, because you talk about a great story and a book that should be written. They should write the book about her, you know, with a broken family, the oldest of nine, the first six girls, and she's the one girl that's not going to make it. And she threatened him and says, "You'll never say that again. You will never say that again." And she winds up wearing USA on her jersey. But she basically said that. And you know, Coach Ramil said the same thing. And she also said, "And if you don't get that frickin' colonoscopy," and frickin' is an easy way of saying the way she said it.
Right.
"If you don't get that colonoscopy, I'm going to trade you in for a couple 30-year-olds." I couldn't even say it, let alone spell it. Now, I know gastroenterologist, I can spell it, you know, I can forward, backwards, upside down, you know.
So, right.
But, you know, it was Janet, you know, to flip to that side, it was Janet that just no symptoms. She just said, "Hey, you know, you're 55, and, you know, this is something that needs to be done." This was back in 2001.
Right.
And, you know, my kids are babies, and when you know it, you know, I took it, and they found out, but I was in stage one.
Okay.
And, you know, and we were able to take care of it, and they just did a resection.
Okay.
It's basically, you know, it's just cutting off a hose, and, you know, 50-foot hose that's stuck in your stomach, and, or whatever, and, they cut 18 inches out, did it through my navel. No blood transfusions. It was laparoscopic, one of the first ever at Jefferson University Hospital in Philly, one of the best. And it is. And I'm down the shore, they call the beach the shore here on the Atlantic Ocean, and I run into the head basketball coach of Villanova, and it's Jay Wright, and he said, "Yo, Vinny," because Jay used to work with me when I was a radio announcer for the Stars. He said, "Yo, Vinny, didn't I just hear you?" Like, "Yeah." So there it was, you know, it is what it is, and I was a spokesman, and you know, you just do what you can do. So right now I'm in my 70s, so you know, I take whatever I need to, you know, I try to eat properly, and she's a fitness nut, so all good.
Okay. All righty. And so you're also in the book Last Laugh, you guys have a system called the Victor's Code. And you know, I think a lot of us would be interested in the kinds of things that you thought were important to not only, you know, become, you know, an NFL football player, and also how you dealt with these challenges in your life. So can you share some of the V's with us?
Yeah, we have victory, you know, at the end is, you know, getting it done. We have vehement, power, vitality, all these words. And I actually have a whole video set. I was thinking about it the other day of putting it together, because we did record how Dennis and I felt about that prior to his passing. But, you know, we just, with this code and having the vision, you know, to see the end product, and we just figured this would be something that we'd be, it was sort of in the beginning, it was sort of like gimmicky, and then all of a sudden, what we did is we went out to some of the people who were featured in the book, the 10 or 12 people who were featured,
right.
And said, hey, could you tell your success story, either as an entrepreneur, a coach, an athlete, whatever it might be, through that, and through the Victor's Code, and from vision to victory is basically the name of the book. And so we got some pretty interesting people, including our executive producer, that would be Ken Moss, and also Jim Harbaugh, which was great. He was coaching at Michigan at the time, and Vinny was a Michigan grad. So, you know, it was really cool to speak to Coach Harbaugh and have them and what they had been, Coach Vermeil, and some other notable people, the former owner from the 76ers, you know, that believed in the code, and they told their story and their life story through that. So that's how we came about doing it. And, you know, and aside from telling our story,
right,
which was, you know, pretty compelling. Mine was a gift. You know, I got that three games and then one play in the first preseason game. I mean, I got 3 years, and then at the beginning of the fourth year is the first preseason game. I blew my shoulders out, and that just because of stupidity, I went in for one more play when coach told me I was done. And that one play is what I re-separated my shoulder. Didn't tell anybody I had surgery in the off season. And then I came in to hit a guy, and I didn't come in with the separated shoulder, which was my strong one. And I came in with my arm on the left side, and I dislocated my arm. So I had a separated right and a dislocated left.
Oh, my gosh.
That sort of ended it. But, you know, I had a nice job waiting for me with CBS, Channel 10 in Philadelphia. And did that run for a couple of years. And then they brought in another sports director. So, you know, I was sort of put on waivers. But then I got into radio and, you know, was able to be around with a radio station when the 76ers under Billy Cunningham and Dr. J won the world championship. And so that was cool. And then, you know, I got tired of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was just getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. So, I decided to get into sales and marketing, and I did that. And then in 96, 97, I re-met my wife, and we fell in love. And as they say, 93, actually, 92. And as they say, the rest is history. Just celebrated our 31st.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah. And so I also noticed that for the people that are featured in your book, you take them through each one of the V's: vision, valor, vigor, veracity, vitality. And they talk about vehemence and then finally victory. And so you kind of gave them an outline, right?
We didn't want to give them any of the definitions, maybe just a word or two. And we had our writer with us as well. And I couldn't be that eloquent in terms of my writing, but we did have the writer there and just said, you know, how do you feel about this? And so they told their success story through that.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and it wasn't anything. We just sat back and listened.
It was great, and
it was all treated up and
looked
really nice. There we went. It was quite the experience to have them. You know, just talk to them and reconnect with a lot of them as well.
Right.
And I'm going to be reconnecting with a few of them next summer because my daughter Gabriella is getting married and my son Vinny is getting married next summer.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, they're not my babies. And they're always
Babies grow up. Well, we're going to have to take another break. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, I know your kids probably played sports, and about your experience being a sports parent, okay?
Okay,
we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
Let's go.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. connect with your inner athlete, make a game plan, discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging, and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharkey Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm Sharkey Zartman here with Vince Papali. Welcome back, Vince.
Thank you, Sharkey.
Well, this is our last segment, and I know about you've had quite an experience as an athlete and your success stories, but you're also a parent, and I was wondering about your experience as a sports parent. So your kids played sports, is that right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're very gifted athletes now, and, you know, it's unique. I don't know if there's a, you know, my Janet and I wrote a book prior to the last lap, which was called Potential, Reach Your Full Potential.
Uh-huh.
And Janet and me, you know, here's Janet, world-class athlete with USA in her jersey, and me with NFL in my jersey, and we had children late. I was 47, Janet was 40 when our daughter Gabrielle was born, and she's now 30, and then I was 50 when my 28-year-old son Vinny, so you can do that, and when he was born, and Janet was in her young 40s, and both of them had issues at birth, and Vinny, we almost lost Vinny, actually, he got the last race, but, you know, it was sort of cool, you know, from Janet's point of view, needless to say, she was going to get Gabriella in the gymnastics, and because you know, Janet's coaching taught all over the place, mm-hmm. and she really didn't like it, you know. And there was a little bit of a competition going on between her coach and Janet. Janet, when she saw her coach doing some things that she thought maybe were a little bit off,
right.
You know, she didn't want to do it because her friend owned the gym, but you know, there was stuff that was going on, and it just didn't meet Gabriella, and she got injured a couple of times.
Okay.
And she
yeah.
says, "I want to dance, and I want to cheer." And when she got into high school, though, she played lacrosse and she played field hockey a little bit, but Gabby really wanted to dance and cheer. And so that was it for her, you know.
Okay.
But she's a heck of a golfer, a heck of a pickleball player, and a pretty good tennis player, you know, from her young time. Vinny, once he was able to perform, I mean, I had to hold him back, and he wanted to play football in the worst way, but he sucked his thumb. I said, "Well, football players don't suck their thumbs, you know." And he didn't suck his thumb anymore. But anyway, you know, I coached him all the way through youth football, you know, from that aspect of things, all the way up to high school and his junior year. And I finally got, I took a couple of years off and then came back, coached him in high school. But, you know, I saw you might try track, but he didn't like track. But, you know, he's a heck of a golfer. We gave him golf lessons and tennis lessons way back, you know, when they were in single digits as ages.
Yeah.
But he was a tremendous lacrosse player, and he could have gone D1, I think, lacrosse, given that opportunity. And he was a D1. He never came off the field in high school, he was a D1 candidate. But toward the end of the season, his senior year, he broke his clavicle, some of the scholarships disappeared. But he wound up with a great run at the University of Delaware, and now he's playing in the USFL. UFL, and really cool, he just got his Italian citizenship, and he's playing for Italy. He just got done playing for Italy, winning a world championship in Finland. So Vinny's still involved in the game. He's still with the Memphis Showboats and in the WFL, working on his master's degree. And both him and Gabby are getting ready to get married. But you know what? For Thanksgiving, Vinny's coming in, and Janet's birthday is coming up right around Thanksgiving weekend. So one of the things that we'll do, we ask Janet, okay, what would you like to? I want to golf. So we'll walk. The four of us will be together. Playing golf, and for that's all Janet wants. She's like, I just want to golf with my children, and we're lucky because we're in a golf community, so it works out pretty good. But yeah, the kids. But you know what? Here's what it's all about, Sharky. And it wasn't easy for them to grow up as the children of two world class athletes.
Right,
so to speak.
Right.
You know, you listen to them. You got to protect them. There was a lot of jealousy out there. You know, people, the only reason you got to where you got is because your mom and sister, dad's bad.
Right.
You know, they went through that. They went through that jealousy phase. Social media were just starting to develop. They were being bullied on social media. There were a couple instances where we had to, at the high school they went to, where we had to intervene because there were threats made against them, physical threats.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, it all worked out, and, you know, they're beautiful kids, and they've got their degrees. Vinny working on his master's, and I'm just so proud of them. Just, you know, not so much as athletes, but how people, when they come up to me and say how much they really enjoy being around our children, that they're well-rounded, they can keep a conversation, they're polite, you know, they're involved in the community. The high school they went to, as soon as you came in, you had to get involved in a charity, whatever it was, and that's part of our life, and is part of their life. So I'm just so proud of them. And I, you know, Sharky, I'm 47, and I had my first child. I can't even imagine, can't even think about what my life would be like without my two children, Vincenzo and Gabriella.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, there's a lot of sports parents out there that are, you know, their kids are playing lots of sports. It's getting very expensive and very time-consuming.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times the parents seem to get over-involved, and then the kids get upset. And so what one piece of advice would you have for parents, especially first-time parents who have kids playing sports, especially?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
We had an incident where Vincent was, and it was when the movie was coming out, and Vincent didn't make a play that he thought that the coach thought he should make, and the kid, and then he's like 6-7 years old, right? And when he gets on to the sideline, the coach grabbed him by the face mask. Well, that's all that Janet needed.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, my 5'1 Janet with this guy that's 6'4, 270 pounds, and she was in his face so fast. And, you know, it was sad that we had to get to that level. The thing is, as parents, just, you know, you don't have to coddle them, but keep an eye on them, you know, and make sure, you know, especially if they're in the contact sports or whatever, that the coaches, you know, have experience in what they're doing and keep an eye on what's going on there, you know, because they're so easily influenced by other people, especially by adults. And, you know, for Janet and I, and we're still doing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And with relationships with anybody and business relationships, because it's, as you know, it's so difficult out there in business sense. And, hey, it is, you know, it is what it is. So you listen to them.
Right.
You know, for me, the way I always like this I tried to coach them up to a point as a child, to coach them up to a point where they would make the decision, hopefully be the decision I wanted them to make. But whatever decision they made, wasn't a mistake.
Right.
You know, let's learn from it. If it's the right one, good. But, you know, as you know, you've heard this phrase, you know more from losing or failing than you do from winning.
Right.
And so that's pretty much how we raised our children. And,
well, good for you. Sounds like you.
I just can't wait to be with them. It's pretty crazy, so I'm loving it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Vince. Well, you're always so much fun. How can we get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, Vince at VincePapale.com.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, VincePapale.com.
Okay.
And, you know, if anybody wants me out there speaking, there's a form and get over it. And everything comes right to me. Janet and I, we're...
Okay.
It's me and Janet. We got the Papale team, and, you know, with real estate and the whole deal. So
okay.
It's all good.
Awesome. Thanks again, Vince, and best
thanks,
of luck to you in the
great
future.
To be with you. Take care of things out there on the West Coast.
Okay. You on the East Coast. Okay.
All right.
And we'll be back. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And yay, Dodgers! World champions! Wow, what a wild ride they had in the last game. Especially after getting pummeled in the fourth game. And, I think I bit my fingernails off in that in the last couple of innings. So that was a cool win. And, yeah, the Yankees were a really good team. And so, yeah, it wasn't easy. So they're having a parade today. And, boy, do they deserve it. So, again, congratulations, Dodgers. World champions. And we are going back to standard time this weekend. And so we fall back an hour. So we get an extra hour sleep the first night, which is very cool. But it will start getting dark before 5 p.m. And we're going out on the beach tonight with a couple of friends to kind of celebrate the last night of daylight savings. So anyway, also the holidays are coming up fast. And so we're seeing all the Halloween decorations starting to come down and all the Christmas decorations going up. And first up is Thanksgiving. So time to celebrate and give thanks for what we have in our lives instead of what we don't have. And not only do most of us eat too much on Thanksgiving, but some of us don't know how to behave at gatherings. So I have a few tips for those of you that are going to get together with friends and family. First one, most important one, don't talk about politics or election tampering. Okay. I have a feeling even though the election's going to be over November 5th, there's still going to be a lot of talk about it in the media with election tampering, etc. Now, unless you're in a family where you are all on the same side, I would stay away from politics. You just don't want to go there. And so my family is split down the middle. We don't talk about politics at family get-togethers. Actually, my husband and I don't even agree. So, yeah, we don't get that heated about it because we respect each other's opinions. And I don't vote the same way he does. And so, you know, a lot of people can't believe that. They go, oh, you guys aren't the same party? No, that wasn't a requirement before we got married, you know. And so, but we're very respectful to each other. But, you know, we don't even talk about politics at dinner or anything, you know. It's just not the time. And the second one is really try to see the best in everyone. I'm sure you have some people in your family that can be nasty at times, but don't just remember them and see them for all their nastiness. I mean, if they say something good or you notice something good, you know, just say something. Gosh, you know, that was really cool what you just did or what you just said, you know. And so don't complain about the food. I've had some people tell me that they put on these elaborate meals and people said, well, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. Or, you know, if you're going to complain about the food, eat before you come to the event so you don't have to eat much of it. Don't bring your own food unless you ask somebody if that's okay. You know, that's kind of an insult to a person who has spent a lot of money and time putting together a meal for everything. And number four, share positive events, not negative ones. You know, I have this thing that I tell people to get rid of psychic vampires in their life. Psychic vampires are the ones who see you and they always come up and, you know, you say, hi, how are you? What's up? And they just dump on you. I'm sure you have some people in your family that are like that. Just everything that's wrong, they just pour it on, and they end up feeling better when they leave, and you end up just acting like somebody just beat you up. And so I have a little tip I always tell people who have people like that in their families. Instead of saying, you know, what's up? How are you? Instead say, what's new and good? And it's so funny to watch people when you say that, because it's like something happens in their brain where it kind of shakes up, you know, and they don't know what to say at first. Okay. What's new and good? Okay. Another thing that, you know, people, when they complain that they have to do something, I have to do this, I have to do that, instead saying, you know, I get to do this. There's a lot of people that wouldn't get to do what you say you have to do. So that's immediate shift in, you know, your brain to positivity. And also, I have an assignment, I've talked about this before, that I give to my students if they want extra credit. and most of my students need the extra credit points, and so they do it. It's called Look for the Good in Random Acts of Kindness, and I brought one from one of my students. Her name is Stephanie, and so the assignment is for one full day, notice anything that makes you feel happy, makes you smile, or that you are grateful for. And so, four observations. And she put down my education, because I have the opportunity to study and work towards my academic goals. Being able to see a pretty sunset and pet many friendly dogs at the beach. Building my wardrobe, because clothes, jewelry, and shoes help me to express myself. And having general interactions with customers at work and be able to help others. And so those are just some things that she noticed that she wrote down, okay, to get the extra credit points. And the second thing is practice four random acts of kindness that are unsolicited with no expectations for reciprocation. And so she put down buying a stranger's meal. Now, she works at a fast food place. Sent a positive text to one of my friends, let a mom in the grocery store cut in front of me because she had less items than me and a couple of kids, and emailed one of my professors to thank them for pushing me and always being patient with me. And then, so that's just things that she did that were kind that nobody asked for, and she had no expectations for anything to do anything back. Okay, and so usually when we do something nice, we expect something back in return. Okay, and so the other question is, how did you feel at the end of the day after practicing these behaviors? And she goes, I actually felt good about myself. I felt like I had a sense of purpose, and it even boosted my mood. And then the last one, this is something you can continue as a part of your everyday life. I think I can. I also work fast food, so I enjoy giving people a good, positive customer service. I'll have to find out where she works. A lot of my students hand these in. This is one that I just got on Thursday. And so I just thought I'd share it. And so it's not a hard thing, but the way that they feel at the end of the day, just from writing these things down, is really incredible. And so I just wanted to share this with you. Also, my students sometimes notice this little bracelet, and I wear it almost every day. It has a little thing that says, I am SG4. And my students go, what does that mean? What's SG4? And it says, well, when I tell them, I am so grateful for the number 4. And then I just fill in the blank. And it's a reminder for me to, look around and see things that are positive that I'm grateful for, especially in today's environment where so much negativity is going on and, just it's crazy out there. So, anyway, it's a good reminder. And so we'll be back with more Pep Talk and wrap it up right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us so much today on Pep Talk. And to my wonderful guest, Vince Papale. If you want to learn more about him and what's coming up in his life, just go to VincePapale.com. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.